And tonight we have what would seem to be a very pertinent topic for the day that we've had, but being thankful seems to be easier on days like this. We have a lot to be thankful for today, but we have a lot to be thankful for every day. And this is something that God desires from us all. We can go back to the Old Testament and look at a number of scriptures there. They had sacrifices of thanksgiving that they offered. That was something that God sought from his people Israel. In Psalm 75, in verse 1, Psalm 75, 1, says, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." And then a little bit further on from there, in Psalm 92, verse 1, he says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." It is a good thing to give, offer our thanks to him. That we read in the Old Testament, and we have a number of scriptures that teach that same particular point in the New Testament under the law of Christ for us also. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So we have a commandment from God to be thankful. And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 tells us to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we have a lot of scriptures on this subject. Another one to look at, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, where he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So that is God's will for us to be thankful and to offer him our thanks with our prayers, and to do that in everything. So we want to spend some time tonight just considering some of the ways we are to be thankful and some of the things that we should be thankful to God for. Now, obviously, we're not going to be able to cover everything. We sing a song about count your blessings, and really for us to, and that's a good thing to do, for us to take the time to consider the ways in which God has blessed us, for which we should give him thanks for all those things. But would we have time in the next 30 minutes to go through all the things that God does for us every day? Well, we don't, but we can look at some of the things that God teaches in his word, some of the major principles or some of the major categories of things that might help us to be more mindful of the things that we should be thankful to God for. Well, let's start with our position under God. What position do we occupy under our God? And are we thankful for our place, our position under our Maker? Well, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, this is something that God desires from our lips. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. He says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So God is desiring that as one of our spiritual sacrifices that we're to offer, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's interesting, if you look at that particular word, thanks, it is a Greek word, homologeo, which means to assent, really to agree to. An example of that is what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 11, where there's that particular word that has the strengthening prefix to it, where it's ex homologeo, so it's the same base word that was there in Hebrews 13, 15, strengthened with a prefix. But this is what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 11 in verses 20 through 26. He was assenting or acknowledging. The word here means to acknowledge or to agree fully. So here's what Jesus was assenting to or acknowledging, agreeing fully with of his Father, as the word thank is used in the translation of it. Matthew 11, 20 through 26. "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom at the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So Jesus said he was thanking his Father for that particular work of his. Well, that's that word that means to acknowledge or to agree fully with. Well, here's an acknowledgement from Christ, as we saw in Hebrews 13:15. Here's the fruit of his lips, giving thanks unto the name, the authority. That's what giving thanks unto his name. His name is his authority. So here's an acknowledgement of God's authority. Do we acknowledge the authority that God has? Are we thankful in that way? Well, Jesus was, and he thanked his Father, acknowledged that expression of his authority as he had control over his word to have that revealed to the babes, the ones who spiritually were humble and seeking him, but to hide those things from those wise and prudent ones that were rejecting him. And so Jesus understood that was the work of his Father, and he acknowledged that. And he agreed fully with the Father's work, as he is the one with all authority, which he has now given to his Son, and we're under him. So we need to be acknowledging that authority that the Father has placed over us through his Son. And do we do that is the question. Are we thankful for that position that we have under our Maker? Well, in Psalm 95, we see more of this. Psalm 95:1-7. Now, this is that psalm, when we get to the latter part of verse 7, that we should recognize as it carries down through the end of that psalm, what is quoted in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3. And usually when we turn to Psalm 95, we're looking at that point. Well, this time, we want to look at the first 7 verses, everything but that part that we usually look at. But it fits right in there with it too, of course. But let's start in Psalm 95:1-7, where he says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And then it goes to that point, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. As those people in the wilderness that the Holy Spirit swore in his wrath would not enter into his rest, that he teaches us in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 to remember, to learn from their example of unbelief and not following, they were not thankful for their position under their Maker. They were unthankful. They did not acknowledge his authority and submit to it. So they were unthankful. Here he tells us to be thankful, to come before his presence with thanksgiving in this context where we're acknowledging he's our Maker, he's our God, we're his possession, we belong to him, and he has the authority to direct our lives. Well, are we thankful for that? Do we agree with the position we have in this life that we're under a Creator that we belong to and that we have no right to live our lives the way we determine, but only as he tells us to? Not very many people are thankful to God for their position, but we must be. Let's look at Psalm 100, it's 5 verses long. We'll go ahead and read the whole thing. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Well, there again he teaches us to be thankful to God for his, and to be thankful to his name, to his authority. And he's again teaching us about that authority that he has as our Maker. We didn't make ourselves, he made us. We've been put here by him on this earth, and we and everything here, this pasture, the whole bit of it. And we, his sheep, are his. We belong to him. And we are under him as our maker. And we need to be thankful to him for that. And demonstrate it by submitting to him and following his will. Well, this is also what he teaches us in the Gospel of John. In the first three verses, Jesus Christ, the one that he has given all authority to in heaven and in earth, that he gave that authority in on the day of his resurrection. But Jesus' existence did not begin when he came into this world. John 1, 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then from there, he goes, and he's speaking of Christ, there is that word, because in verse 14, he says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So that's about Christ, God's Son. He was with the Father in the beginning, and the Father created all things by him, including us. And so it tells us, beginning of verse 10, that he was in the world, speaking of Christ, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, he made them. They belonged to him. He came to them, but by and large, they rejected him. They were not thankful unto his name, that is, his authority, for their position under him. They wanted to live their lives their way, not God's way. And so in verse 12, he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Well, we have to receive him, and we have to believe on that name that he has, that authority. It's not just believing that the name that he was called by while he was on the earth was Jesus. That's a fact. But when it's speaking about being thankful to his name or acknowledging his name, doing all that we do in word or deed in his name, or here believing in his name, all that is speaking of the authority that he has. Well, we have to believe in that, we have to agree with that, and acknowledge and be thankful to God for putting us under his authority, and show that by living for him and not for ourselves. And if we will do that, he's willing to adopt us as his children through his Son. In Romans chapter 1, he's angry with this world for not being thankful, and that's the very phrase that he uses in this passage in Romans 1. Verses 18 through 21, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." And they refused to live for their Creator and serve him, and God is angry with this world for that. He says they're not thankful. They're not thankful for that position they are in under their Creator that they belong to, that they should live for and for him only. And in their rebellion against God, he is angry with this world. Well, we need to be thankful for our position and not be among those that he has wrath against for being unthankful. In Revelation chapter 11, we see this expression of thanksgiving, acknowledging the authority of God by those in heaven here in Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Well, are we in full agreement with being ruled? I mean, that's what reign means. He's ruling over us. How do we feel about being ruled by him? Are we thankful to be under him, to be ruled by him? Well, we need to be. And we need to show it by living for him. Well, there are many other things, of course, we're to be thankful for. That's the place to start, though, because if we're not thankful for our position under him, if we blow that one, everything else is not going to matter, because we're not going to be his. We'll be under his wrath. But if we will first be thankful for the position we have under God, then we can be thankful for all the other things that go from there, such as the mighty works that he has done. And there's so many examples of that we need to consider. But in Psalm 105 and verse 1, Psalm 105, verse 1. He says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." So here again, we're to be thankful to God, but He puts the focus or attention there on His works that He does. Well, God does so many things, and all those things that He's doing in running this world and in being the our deliverer, our protector, our provider, giving us all the things that He does and all these different ways in which He works in this world. Are we mindful of all those things and thankful to Him for that? Well, we need to be. Let's consider a few of those, and this is not at all attempting to be an exhaustive list of the works that God does, all of which we should be thankful for, but these are just a few things that we can have in our minds tonight to consider, and we would have the goal then to be thankful for all of these things and much more. But in Psalm 18, if you can't tell, there's a lot in the book of Psalms about our being thankful to God and teaching us that. But in Psalm 18, verses 48 and 49, he says, "He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Well, there is that deliverance that God gives to His servants. And He does give that. He does give that to all of us. We have that great promise from Him that no matter, well, for one hand, we are going to be persecuted. That's one of His promises. But is that something also to be thankful for? He tells us to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. That's James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, that teaches us to be joyful in those circumstances, based in our knowing and understanding God's purpose in all of that. That's how He helps us to grow to the point where we can be complete and entire and lacking nothing spiritually. But even through all that happens to us in those temptations, when we're doing what is right before Him, even then He has promised us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 not to allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. But He's promised that He's going to provide a way of escape out of every temptation so that we may be able to bear it. Well, are we thankful to God for the deliverance He gives us out of our temptations? Jesus has taught us to pray that way for Him not to lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Well, are we thankful to God for that deliverance He gives us from our temptations, for providing that way of escape, for getting us through all of those things, so that no one can prevail against us through Him, that He's given us an armor that we can put on, and with that armor, we can stand against the wiles of the devil. There's so many aspects of that that we need to be aware of, believe in, follow, and be thankful for. Well, and God is also very merciful. Even in those times when we have fallen to temptation, when He's provided a way to escape it, and we know we've all had those moments when, in spite of all that God has done to deliver us from evil, that we have made the wrong choices and we have fallen into sin and transgressed against Him. Well, God shows us mercy then. God shows us mercy in so many ways in our lives, and we need to be thankful for His mercy. And there are a lot of Psalms on this one. If we can go back over to the book of Psalms and look at 106 verse 1 right now. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And we have Psalm 107 verse 1, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." This whole section of the Psalms focuses on that particular point a lot of times. Psalm 118 and verse 1 says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." We're seeing that over and over again. Verse 29 of the same psalm, it closes saying, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Then Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. So notice how he puts that attention there on that point in that psalm, and then the last verse of it again says, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Over and over again there, he's teaching us to be thankful to God as he points out his mercy, without which none of us would be saved. So we do depend upon God's love and his mercy towards us. And he shows that in a lot of ways in our lives, and not just when we have fallen to sin, but in so many other ways. He shows us mercy daily, and we need to be aware of that, acknowledge and thank him for that. Well, let's consider for a few minutes God in that role of provider as we're thinking of the works of God and those works to be thankful for. Being thankful to God for how he provides for us. James 1 and verse 17 tells us that every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Is there any good thing that we have that didn't come from God? There's not a thing that we have that's good that did not come from him. So once we consider that point, we really can start counting our blessings then. Well, how many good things do we have? Not just talking about possessions, of course. That actually can be a problem for us. But the thinking of the things that God does provide for us. And he does provide all of our physical blessings. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25, Paul, as he was preaching on Mars Hill in the city of Athens here, and he was teaching these people about the God of heaven, the maker of all things, that they were trying to worship with their hands and called him the unknown God, because they had names for all the other ones that weren't God. But he was declaring to them the one they didn't know. And so in verse 24, he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth us to all life and breath and all things. What does he give to us? He gives us our life. He gives us our breath. He gives us all things. And so, of course, there he starts with some of the physical blessings that we have, our very lives. If the Lord wills, we shall live or do this or that. And that's what we need to express with our mouths. But it is only by his will that we do live. And it's only from him that we have our life and our breath. And we need to be thankful for that and not just think or assume that we're going to somehow be able to, you know, we sometimes talk about somebody having a will to live. Well, you can have the strongest will to live that there is, but can we will ourselves to live a moment on this earth? We can't. We may be willing to live, but if he doesn't give us the life, we can will all, well, we won't be willing all day because we'll be dead. But anyway, God is the one that provides us our life and breath, and we can't take a breath or have a moment of life without him. He does provide all of that, everything we need to live, to sustain us on this earth, he provides for us. We should be aware of that. Well, there's actually a lot of scriptures about for our food. I mean, that's part of, and I know we're getting near eating time, so we've already got a few guys over here that are probably a little bit hungry. I think I see some agreement there, but, well, that might be easier to be thankful for. But he teaches us to be thankful for that. Jesus taught us to ask God for our daily bread, and he does promise to provide that if we will seek first his kingdom and righteousness in Matthew 6 and verse 33. But as God does provide what we need to live physically, our food, drink, and clothes, those are the things that we need to be content with. That's what we have that we must have in order to live. Those are the necessities of life. Now, we don't want to fall into the temptation to care and seek for those things, as he teaches us in that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, because that can choke us, as he teaches in the parable of the sower. But we do need to be thankful to God for providing what we need to live. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, we have this statement from the Lord concerning what he provides for us. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. So there's a condition there. Well, we're not going to be eating creatures afterwards tonight, Lord willing, but well, unless tuna, I guess that's a kind of creature, and whatever the meatballs are made out of and those things, but I think we have some ham sandwiches. But anyway, those are things we're all familiar with. But what does he say, whatever it is? I know Brother Dave talks about eating possum. I don't know if he ever really does that, but I mean, if somebody, there's some people not doubting it, get some hot sauce on it, you probably would. But anyway, whatever it is, if what does he say about that? Every creature is good for us as far as the eating if it be received with thanksgiving. That doesn't mean we're going to want to eat everything, but if that's what the Lord provides, I mean, John the Baptist was out in the wilderness. That's where he lived. What did he have to eat? Do you think he ate locusts and wild honey because that was just his number one choice on the menu? Or do you think that was there much choice on his menu out there where he lived? That's what God provided for him. And when God provided that for him, do you think he ate that with thanksgiving? No doubt that he did. And we need to be thankful for whatever it is that God provides for us for our food. Now, that's something to start to in childhood. We don't want to have kids growing up being little Israelites, murmuring and complaining because they don't have all these things that they like, rather, and they have to eat Brussels sprouts or broccoli or whatever it is they don't like. If that's what the Lord has given you on your plate, using your parents to do it, then you eat it and be thankful for it. That's what the Lord teaches us to do, and we should receive it with thanksgiving. All you kids hearing that? And otherwise, if we don't learn that lesson, what happened with the Israelites when they grew up? They never learned that, did they? They got out there in the wilderness and he provided manna, and all they did was murmur and complain because of what they had to eat and not having all those things they had it great in Egypt when they were slaves, didn't they? But that's what they started moaning and whining about until he told them that was it, and they were not going to, well, that's what Psalm 95, the rest of that was about. They didn't get to enter the land of Canaan, but they also missed out on eternal life, which is the greatest tragedy of all. So we need to be thankful for what God does provide. Jesus thanked God for the food that was provided when he had the loaves and fishes and the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6, verse 11. He gave thanks to God and then gave that food to the people. And the same thing with the feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew 15, verse 36. So Jesus prayed and thanked God for the food that was provided. And that was provided for a multitude there. Paul did the same thing when he was on a ship being driven of winds. They didn't even know where they were. For 2 weeks, they were driven by a storm out in the Mediterranean. In Acts chapter 27, verses 33 through 35, the Lord sent an angel who appeared to the apostle Paul, and there was a promise made that all the lives on that ship would be saved if they stayed within the ship. And for that reason, then the apostle Paul took the opportunity to encourage them all to eat. But notice what he did when that food was provided, Acts 27, 33 through 35. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Well, do you think it was the habit of all those people to thank God before they ate any food, to acknowledge that what they had to eat was from their Maker? It's interesting, if you do that, if you're out in the world somewhere, and you're sitting down to eat, and there are other people around, even if you just bow your head silently and pray to God, some people are going to notice that because it's so different from what so many do. Not that we're trying to draw attention to ourselves, but we do have the opportunity to shine as a light in the world. But isn't it sad that you shine as a light just by being thankful to God for providing your food? But yet, that is an opportunity for us to do that, just like Paul did before those people on that ship. And also for our health. That's something very easy to take for granted. Just like it's easy to take for granted that we're going to have three meals every day of all the things that we like the best. It's very easy for us to, especially in youth, to take for granted that we're going to be alive and well and have our full health and strength, it doesn't take much to make us recognize we depend upon the Lord, not just for our life and breath, but all things, including to be able to have physical strength to do things. And that's something we need to be very thankful for, and not just wait until we get sick to remember to be thankful for that. But Luke chapter 17, there Jesus healed 10 lepers. And you would think being stricken with that disease in that time, before they had antibiotics to treat it, that was a great miracle that was done to relieve them from what was a horrible disease, disfiguring and lifelong. But Jesus relieved them from that terrible burden they were bearing for their health and lack of, but he healed 10 of these lepers. Now, would you not expect them all to be very thankful for that? But he healed 10 of them, and then he sent them to go to the priests in verse 14 of Luke 17. And it says, as they went, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So the healing took place when they were en route to the priest to obey the commandment that God gave for leprosy. So if they weren't going to obey God's commandment of what to do going to the priest about it, they would not have received the cleansing from their leprosy. But they did, they obeyed that part, but as they were going on their way and they were cleansed, verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, how sad that was. 10 lepers cleansed, only one comes back to express thanks to God for it. Well, that was very sad indeed. Of course, not for this one who did, but this is also a way, as we read there, to glorify God. We are giving him glory when we acknowledge that he's the provider for all that we have. And he's the one that keeps our bodies going, and we need to ask him to continue to do that, but we need to thank him for what he has blessed us with. Then we have all the spiritual blessings to consider, would like for us to save next Sunday night as an opportunity for us to consider many of the spiritual blessings that we all have received and continue to receive, and that others receive. Because as we will look in the course of that study, Lord willing, we're not just supposed to be thanking God for what he's done to us ourselves, but also for what he's done for others. We should pray for others, and we should also give thanks for others. But we want to consider some of those spiritual blessings that we all receive from our God through his Son, Jesus Christ, in our time of study, Lord willing, next Sunday night. But for this evening, we want to extend the Lord's invitation. We've already had 2 today that have obeyed the gospel of Christ and become children of God by being baptized into him. And we don't have to stop at 2. So if you're here tonight and you haven't yet obeyed the gospel and you're subject to his invitation and need to repent of your sins and be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of those sins, to put on Christ and to be added to his church, then we're encouraging you to do that tonight. If you are a member of the Lord's body and if you need prayers from the church or need to repent, this is an opportunity for you to come forward also. Anyone that needs to come at this time, won't you do so while we stand together and sing?